presented by Comcast.
Hey, good morning. I'm Playbook co-author Rachel Bade. It's Thursday, June 13th, and here's what's driving the day. It's going to be quite a zoo on Capitol Hill today with Donald Trump huddling with Senate and House Republicans. It is a chance for the former president to unite the party behind him heading into a contentious election year, but he'll also be talking about what comes next should Republicans take control of all of Washington this fall. And here to walk us through all this is my colleague, our congressional reporter, Anthony Andragna. Good morning, Anthony.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So what do we know so far about this circus that's going to be on the Hill today?
I think circus is the right word. The former president's going to be on the House side this morning, and then we'll be over with Senate Republicans in the afternoon. I think one of the interesting things to note is there are some members who previously voted to either impeach or convict him who've indicated that they plan to attend this meeting. So that's kind of an interesting evolution from 2020, certainly. And even folks like Mitch McConnell, who did not support convicting the president over his role in the events of January 6th, but has certainly had a very icy relationship with him since that point, are planning to be in attendance. So I think we're going to see a pretty decent cross section of the Republican conference, at least attending these meetings. Whether or not they actually engage with the president, I think we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, that, I mean, McConnell being in the same room as Trump is just, to be a fly on the wall on that. And there's a couple senators who are skipping, though, it sounds like. Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins. Obviously, as you mentioned, two people who voted to convict the president in his last impeachment. They have, quote, conflicts or something like this.
Yeah, Mitt Romney has a flight that he's going to have to catch. But, you know, interestingly enough, people like Senator Bill Cassidy, who voted to convict last time around, and Dan Newhouse, who voted to impeach in the House, the congressman from Washington, both indicated this week that they're going to do their best to attend this meeting. So, you know, those that have previously tried to hold the former president to account for his role in January 6th, not all in lockstep about how to approach meetings like this.
Yeah, clearly nothing unites a party that is divided like trying to win elections. And that's what we're seeing today. Attendance aside, we expect the big topic of the day to be on an agenda if Republicans, you know, take the Senate and the White House and keep the House. Speaker Johnson crossed the rotunda yesterday and went over and started to sort of flesh some of this out with Senate Republicans. What do we know so far about what they plan to do?
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting to see, actually, because the certainly the message that was taken out of those meetings, that the meeting that Speaker Johnson had with Senate Republicans on Wednesday, was the message was pretty broad. They want to go big. They want to do things through this process called reconciliation that allows parties to pass legislation on a simple majority threshold in the Senate. Obviously, that's would skate by the filibuster, which is a major obstacle for achieving a lot of policy preferences. But again, the thing we heard from senators who attended that meeting with the speaker is that the conversation was very broad, an overall feeling of optimism about the election and the desire to go big if Republicans were to win both the House, Senate, and the presidency. Big if there. So the conversation was pretty broad there. So we'll see if it gets any more specific with the former president. I'm not sure I'd bet on that, but certainly an option.
Yeah, he's certainly not a policy wonk. Although I did talk to someone in his inner circle, and what they said was he's going to, one, reiterate his desire to protect seniors by not allowing cuts to Social Security and Medicare, reiterate his intention to crack down on the border, lay out a tax vision and economic policy very broadly, and then make a U-turn on Biden's foreign policy priorities. But as you said, very broad there. I do think we'll start to see more specifics as we get closer to the convention, which is actually just a month away. Republicans always talk about how they want to run on something positive, or at least Speaker Johnson does, instead of just running against Biden. So we'll just have to see if they put forward some specifics here. But as you said, Anthony, I don't think people should count on it today. Well, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So much of the coverage of Trump's visit to the Hill today is going to talk about the campaign and a potential 2025 Republican legislative agenda. But I've got a scoop for you today on some behind-the-scenes dynamics worth watching as well. It turns out that Trump, after he was convicted in the New York hush money case, he actually picked up the phone and called Speaker Mike Johnson. I'm told that Trump was furious. He was dropping F-bombs left and right, and of course talking to a very religious GOP leader who never raises his voice, let alone curses. And he told Johnson, quote, "We have to overturn this." Yes, talking about his conviction. That's the backdrop right now to Trump's visit on Capitol Hill. Yes, there'll be a lot of focus on 2025, but Trump actually behind the scenes is just as concerned with his immediate worries and what specifically congressional Republicans are going to do about it. Behind the scenes, I'm told he's been pushing his Hill allies to be more aggressive in fighting for him and sandbagging Democrats as much as they can. Now, a person familiar with this conversation between Trump and Johnson told me that the former president wasn't ordering Johnson to do this or that or vote on this bill or that proposal. The speaker, I'm told, already believed that the House actually has a role in addressing Trump's predicament. And Johnson, of course, sympathizes with Trump's frustrations. He was among the first batch of Republicans to accompany him during his New York trial. He's been harping on, quote, weaponization of the justice system since he took the gavel, and actually before. But now, in the wake of this conviction, the speaker is actually looking at moving something. Yesterday, House Republicans spent the afternoon whipping a bill by Russell Fry, a Republican from South Carolina. This legislation would allow presidents charged at the state and local level to actually move their cases to federal court. That effectively nullifies the power of people like the Manhattan DA, Alvin Bragg, and Fulton County DA, Bonnie Willis. Johnson has also been in talks with Trump ally Jim Jordan about using the appropriations process to target some of the probes against Trump, including special counsel Jack Smith specifically. That is an apparent softening of his position from just a month or so ago. The speaker told us in an interview that he found a similar idea by Marjorie Taylor Greene, frankly, unworkable. The problem here is that these proposals don't actually have the votes to pass. Senior Appropriator Mike Simpson, who's a Republican from Idaho, told me yesterday that the idea of defunding Smith through appropriations was, quote, stupid. He said, "I don't think it's a good idea unless you can show these prosecutors acted in bad faith or fraud or something like that. They're just doing their job." Another senior Republican who didn't want to be identified put it a little more bluntly. He said, "We accused Democrats of weaponizing the justice system. Well, if we take up these proposals, that's exactly what we're going to be doing." Now, leaders aren't going to give up on this just yet. They are going to do sort of education sessions with their members to try to see if they can get these votes. I did catch up with Russell Fry off the House floor yesterday. He said that the more members he talks to, the more people are coming to support it. Basically, people become more comfortable with this idea the more they hear him out. But look, Republicans just yesterday barely had the votes to hold Attorney General Merrick Garland in contempt of Congress. That vote should have been easy. It was a legitimate oversight request of the executive branch, and the fact that they had to actually do some arm twisting doesn't exactly bode well for these other proposals that Trump, of course, will love, but a lot of the membership, they're just not going to be comfortable with. I will be watching today to see if these conversations and these ideas come up at all when Trump is on the Hill. And for the rest of your schedule today, the Senate and House are in. President Biden is in Italy. Throughout the day, he'll participate in an official greet with the Italian Prime Minister and multiple working sessions. In the evening, he'll sign a bilateral security agreement with Ukraine and hold a joint press conference with Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky. And one more thing, this evening, Politico hosts California Congressman Amy Barra and health experts at our Transforming Healthcare event, where we'll examine how Washington can improve access and affordability to innovative technologies. You can learn more and register at politico.com/live events. I'm Rachel Bade. Thanks for listening.
Did you know that most of the data on your smartphone travels over Wi-Fi, not cellular? Thanks to Wi-Fi innovation by Comcast, our customers connect over 1 billion devices to our network each year. Unlicensed spectrum is key to a fast and secure Wi-Fi experience at home and on the go. Comcast develops cutting-edge Wi-Fi equipment that maximizes our multi-gig broadband network and spectrum made available by the FCC. Learn more at comcastcorporation.com/innovation.